Nehemiah chapter 3 in your Bibles. I trust that you will be in prayer this week for Michelle Chambers. She's going in on Tuesday for surgery. Continue to remember Vincent's family and the homegoing of his mother, Mary Jane. Her services was yesterday. And continue to remember Ben Schott, Beverly Farnham's brother, in your prayer and his fight with cancer during this time. Has anybody ever said to you, you know, you're old-fashioned? Anybody ever said that to you? Usually when people say that, it's not necessarily a compliment. They're usually saying, you know, you need to get with the times. The way you do stuff is outdated. And you could fit into society a lot better if you wouldn't be so old-fashioned. Well, we probably all have some ways about us that have been a part of our life for many years. I went upstairs before church to try to find our mimeograph machine. Now, if you're laughing, then you're old. If you're going, a what? Then you're young. That's just sort of how you tell that. And I did not see it up there. It could be covered up with something, or we may have thrown it away. And I don't know why we've thrown it away. We used it about 30 years ago. And this bulletin and this flyer did not come off of a mimeograph machine. Those of you that are old enough to remember or know what a mimeograph machine was, you would actually have to type into this paper, and it would cut the letters. And you would make an original from that, and then you would put it on this roller on this mimeograph machine. It was about like this. And you would roll it, and the copies would come out. It would just duplicate the copies. It was the ugliest looking thing you ever saw when that came out. But I know when I first came here, I used that mimeograph machine some. And then I graduated. Started using my typewriter. Now, that had been part of my life for a while. You do remember typewriters, some of you do. Didn't you love to go by that correction tape? And then if you made a mistake, you had to put the correction tape. Now, for you young people, you need to listen. This is an education in old folks' things here. You'd put that tape in there, and then you'd have to type the letter that you typed wrong so that white little powder would cover that. And then you would backspace and type the right letter in. It wasn't hard to tell. My papers were full of mistakes. And I like look like it snowed on my paper when I got through with it. But the time involved with it, I mean, now we got spell check. You know, bam, and it's done. And then typewriter, I mean, if you're in a typewriter dealership right now, you're like the Maytag repairman. You don't have much business. That's just sort of taken over. And those are some old things. You know, I can remember stopping at Hop Inn in Stuartsville. I don't think it's actually called Hop Inn now. It was a number of years ago. And I would take my quarter and I'd put it in the payphone and I would check my answer machine. And it's hard to find payphones anymore. Everybody's got cell phones. And cell phones are great if you know how to use them. And I'm learning more and more what mine can do. You know, when I bought a cell phone, I bought it just to make phone calls. And it was very helpful in that regard. And now, you know, I'm slow in catching on to stuff. And I don't text a whole lot. Once my wife showed me how to talk and text, not text and drive, but talk and text, that helped. And you can get on the internet. And I was coming home the other day and I wanted to go to Stanton River football game and just couldn't work it into my schedule. So I just listened to it on my phone. That's crazy. You know, that cars, we just bought a new car in the sense of new to us. It wasn't brand new, but it was only a couple years old. It's got things that my 1994 truck don't have. It doesn't even have a 8-track player in that thing. I don't know. And now they're making cars that are going to be able to drive themselves. Isn't that crazy? Old-fashioned. You know, when I was in elementary school, we had to learn, and I'm sure many of you did too, we had to learn the multiplication tables. 1 times 1 equals one. 7 times 7 equals 49. And I am many, many years past that. And you know what the multiplication tables are today? They're the same as they were 50 years ago. 1 times 1 still is 1. 7 times 7 still is 49. Isn't that old-fashioned? I mean, there's some things that don't change. Technology changes, medicine changes, travel changes. And all of those things have been very good and very positive and very time-consuming. But there are some things that don't change. And yet our society... Sam, can you hand me my glasses? That's changing too, my eyesight. Thank you, sir. Listen to Nehemiah chapter 3 and verse 6. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along. Moreover, the old gate repaired Jehoiada the son of Pashah. And I'll just stop right there. I want to talk about the old gate for a moment. It was probably called the old gate because it was one of the old... Oh, I had a book I was going to offer y'all today. This is a book out of our library. If anybody wants it, you can have it. The Comprehensive Guide to a Cassette Ministry. So we're not using that book here anymore. So if you want a comprehensive guide to a cassette ministry, it's here. And nobody in the 11 o'clock service will take it, but maybe some of you will want that for something. You might be able to kill flies or something. I don't know what it's good for anymore. The Old Gate. It was called the Old Gate because it was more than likely one of the oldest entrances into the city of Jerusalem. And so I want to talk about the old gate today and the old paths. Listen to this verse in Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said, we will not walk in it. Psalm 11, verse 3. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Most commentators or messages you hear on Nehemiah chapter 3 and talking about the different gates of Jerusalem and maybe how they compare to today, almost everything that I have seen and read or heard through the years talking about the old gate talks about the ancient paths. Now, I mentioned some things today like a mimeograph machine or a rotary phone or some things that we used to have in our lives, and maybe you still have some vestiges of that at your home. But for most of us, we have changed with technology and we've accepted new ways of doing things, and it has in some ways bettered our life. But there are some things that don't change. And yet, our society is trying to change them. Methods change. When I was a teenager, you wouldn't go to church and see a man there without a suit and tie on. You wouldn't see a lady without a dress on. And you would usually hear people say, well, when you go to church, you need to wear your Sunday best. And that was a big thing that people would always say, but society has changed it. You know, you have casual days at your work now, and you don't have to maybe dress up like you did before. And some of you probably work at places where you can wear blue jeans now, and you would never think of doing that when you first started working at that place. And the reality is, I mean, I think we need to have reverence for the church and for the sanctuary, and I totally agree with that. But biblically, our bodies are the temple of God. We are the church, the people, not the building. Respect and reverence and that, it plays its place, and I understand that. But methods may change. How we go about doing things, like the bulletins, we've changed how we do those. I use PowerPoint some in the 11 o'clock service. That wasn't available. I can remember overhead projectors and using those years ago and trying to make things. But there are some principles of God, there's some truth of God that will never change. Jesus said, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there are some truths of Scripture that God has given to us that society is trying to change that should never change. I hope they don't change in your heart. And one is the Word of God. I believe that this is the Word from God. It's without error. It is sufficient for my life. Everything that God wants me to know about life and eternity, He's given to me in this book. I don't believe this book was written by man's intentions. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1 that God gave His word, His thoughts to different people, and over about a 1,500-year period of time, 39 authors have written what God impressed on their heart to write, and the Holy Spirit oversaw what they wrote so that what they wrote was without error. There's a lot of attacks on the Bible today, that the Bible is old-fashioned. A pastor I used to have in North Carolina said the Bible is more up-to-date than tomorrow's newspaper. And I believe that. Now, you can look in the Old Testament and you can look at some of God's requirements for the Jews and say, we don't go by that stuff anymore. Well, it wasn't given to you. It was given to the Jewish nation. And so the Bible has to be kept in context and understand the time in which it was written and the principles for which God gave them. But this is the eternal Word of God. And I never want to come to a point in my ministry where this is not the central part of my life and my ministry. My study, my preaching should be centered on the Word of God. And that's what we try to do here at our church, whether it's in services or whether it's in Sunday school or children's church or even with the musical that we're going to have in a couple weeks. The songs and the messages and the presentation is going to be about the truths of God's Word. It never changes. Another truth, and you could list many of these in Scripture, but just four that stick out of my mind is very prominent. God's way of salvation doesn't change. It doesn't matter what Islam teaches or what the Mormons teach or what Jehovah's Witness teach or Catholicism. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I used to hear people say, you go your way and I go mine and we'll all get to heaven at the same time. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus said there is a broad way that many people are on, and that way leads to destruction. But there is a very narrow way, and few there be that find it, and that way leads to eternal life, and that way is through Jesus Christ. And just like in Jesus' day, so it is today, people try to discredit that Jesus was God. I believe, like the Bible teaches, that Jesus was virgin born. That's old fashioned. No, that's biblical truth. That's just like a multiplication table. You see, if Jesus would have had a human father, he would have inherited a sin nature. He needed to be virgin born. That was within the plan of God. The miracles that he did. I heard a guy say to a man one time, he said, you believe the Bible? Yes, I do. You believe all the Bible? Yes, I do. He said, do you even believe all the miracles that Jesus did? Yeah, I do. Well, what about that part about him walking on water? Do you believe Jesus can walk on? Do you think he can change water into wine? He said, well, I especially believe that. He turned wine into furniture at my house. And some of you know what that's like. There were things that you used to give your life to, and God changed that and took away the desire for that, and now there's a new part of your life that you've given yourself to. There's only one way. I shared at the service yesterday for Mary Jane Light. I was visiting her in the hospital last Friday. And not this Friday, but Friday a week ago. And I know Vincent had told me at church a couple times that his mom had said, you know, she was ready to meet the Lord. So in talking to her last Friday, I said, Mary Jane, tell me, when you asked the Lord into your life to save you, and I thought she was going to say, well, you know, I asked Christ in my life a long time ago and so forth. And she said, you know, I always thought I was saved. And she said, but I, and she had some things happen in her life that was discouraging. And she said, but I just began praying and asked the Lord to come into my heart and forgive me of my sins and take over. And as she was sharing with me, I'm still thinking, I thought she'd been saved a long time. But am I going to discredit what she's telling me? And she began to talk about her giving her heart to the Lord and how that she thought for a long time she was saved, but she really hadn't accepted Christ, but now she had. And it was a blessing to hear her share in a very confident way how she had placed her faith in Christ and God had saved her. And yet, what she said, I'm afraid, is true with many people in their life, even church-going people. They think they're saved. Well, I always thought I was saved. But they're not. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said there are going to be a lot of people who stand before Him and think they're going to heaven. Religious people, Lord, we prophesied in Your name, and we did this, and we did the other, and we did it in Your name, only to hear Him say, depart from me, I never knew you, that you that work iniquity. I mean, there's a difference between knowing about God and believing in God and repenting of your sins and asking Him to come into your life and save you. And that's the truth of Scripture. John 3:16, a verse that probably all of you know or can quote, that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants us. The way of salvation will never change. There's never going to be a time when God says, you know, I got a better way. There's no better way. There's only one way, and that is the best way, and it's through Jesus Christ. And you can say old-fashioned, and you can say whatever you want to. I know you wouldn't say that, but people can say that. But the truth is, if people die without Christ, they're not going to heaven. It's an old path. It's an ancient path. But it still works today. And then I think about prayer. Something we need to return to if we're not there. God still hears prayer. And God still answers prayer. I hope you can think of times in your life recently where you've seen God actively at work. I see this in my life all the time, and I think one of the reasons I may see it is because I'm looking for it. I see how God maybe orders our steps. That doesn't mean that everything we pray for is going to happen, but the truth of the matter is sometimes things don't happen because we don't ask God for them. You have not because you ask not. And when we're walking with the Lord, God will work in our life. Don't give up on prayer. Jesus told His disciples, don't lose heart. God still cares about you. We are entering the Christmas season, and those of you that have small children or grandchildren, your ears are probably very attentive to what they're saying and what you can buy them for Christmas. And even that's changed. How you purchase things have changed. There's a reason why Kmart and JCPenney and Sears and other stores are struggling, and some of them going out of business today, is because a lot of young people today aren't going out and spending hours and hours in line, standing in the cold to get into a store. They're shopping online. I don't know what the percentages are, but more and more people are shopping online. We were going to shop online Thursday night or Friday morning if we hadn't fell asleep. God still hears prayer. Make a part of your day, every day, talking to the Lord. And it's not just about getting things from God. It includes praising Him for who He is and thanking Him for what He's done and asking Him to help you honor Him with your life. I think another old path is Christians still follow Jesus Christ. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. We look at the culture in church life, and a lot of churches are struggling today, and people aren't coming as regularly as they used to come, and outreach is difficult. And Chris and I talk about this every now and then. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He's given you the desire to honor Him, you're going to honor Him in your life in whatever way that means. That's true, because His sheep follow Him. I'm not talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about living for God. You still are convicted over sin. You still want to live a life that honors God. You still have a desire to share Jesus with other people who don't know Him. The church and Sunday school and fellowship and messages may help you in that light, but the Holy Spirit does that work in your heart. That's an old path. No, that's a godly path that we would follow Him. And then a little bit further down, not only is there the old path, and remember that, some old-fashioned things may change. Technology makes some things better and easier. But there are certain ancient ways that we grew up with, especially biblical truths, that will never change. The valley gate repaired Hanan and the inhabitants of Zanoah. And let me just stop there, the valley gate. We've talked about the sheep gate. These are the northern part of the wall, the sheep gate, which was near the temple, the place of sacrifice. We talked about that. The fish gate, we talked about that last week, and where the fishermen would bring their fish in to sell, and the merchants would sell them inside the gate. We talked about our need to be witnesses for Christ, and the old gate. And then if you pick up a paper or you look online and the map of the walls of Jerusalem in Nehemiah's day, you have to come way down to get to the valley gate, because it was down toward the valley. And the gate in the city would come up, and then it would drop and go way down. For most of us, when we think about valley experiences in our life, we think about difficult times. Difficult times that come into our life. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have the story of David and Goliath, a story that most of us are familiar with. May not remember all the details, but you remember that young David took on this almost 10-foot giant and cast a stone, hit him in the head, killed him, and then cut his head off with his own sword. That was in the Valley of Elah. And that is a valley experience that we all go through. And that is dealing with the giants in our life. What is trying to destroy you right now? I don't know. For some people that I have ministered to outside the church, it's drugs and alcohol. For other people, it might be maybe more of a Christian issue, anger and resentment, hostility, grumbling. People are dealing with immorality in different forms, whether it's with somebody that they're not married to, or somebody that's married to somebody else, or pornography. Procrastination. Gambling. I've dealt with people that had that as an issue. What is your giant? What is it that just seems to loom before you so big that you don't think there's any way you can get it out of your life? We need to think about that and realize that we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And if we face our giants in our own strength and our own power, we're probably going to get crushed. But if we'll look and see what the Bible says about the particular challenge that we're facing, whatever it might be, what does the Bible say? And take those verses and those principles to heart, and I sometimes will write things down on an index card where, that's old-fashioned, because people use their phones to do that now, but write it down where I can look at it through the day and think about it and meditate on it. You know, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And if you don't prepare for battle, you're probably going to lose. That's one of the valleys that we face. And there's another valley. David, many people refer to it as the Valley of Baca or the Valley of Tears. There was an occasion in 1 Samuel chapter 30 when David and his men had gone off to war, and they looked, and their city was on fire. And when they came back to the city, not only was it on fire, but all their wives and children were gone. Listen to these verses. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept. They had no power to weep. They had no more power to weep. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. You imagine here David and these mighty men of valor come back to the city, and everything they know is gone. Everything they love, their city is burned, their wives, their kids. It was the darkest night of his life. And not only did he have to deal with his family gone, but the other family members of his friends were gone, and now they were thinking about stoning him, because they felt like he was responsible for this happening. So not only did he have to deal with the loss of his loved ones, his best friends were turning on him. What do you do when you get in that valley? You know, that nightmare that you thought would never come, and you've got to go through it. There's difficult days when you cry and cry like David did, and he said he had no more power to cry. I mean, he was a broken man. Holidays are hard, and I mentioned Mary Jane, we've got other people in our church, even just this year, but it can go much further back than that, who have lost loved ones, and days and nights and memories are still difficult, and tears still flow. We've got people in our church who have lost their children through medical issues or accidents or things, and it's still hard. If people tell you, well, you'll get over it one day, then they've never been there. Because it's not something you get over. It's something you may learn to live with, and God gives you grace and strength, but it's hard. Those valley experiences. You know, when you lose a mate, when you lose a child, when you lose a best friend, when you yourself realize that your days are numbered. The other side of that, my mom and dad's generation, and this is true of your relatives and maybe even some of you, you grew up working hard. And you didn't have time to play games and do other stuff. I mean, you had to work very hard to make a living to support your family. And then, you know, my generation came along, and a little bit after me came along, and things were a little bit easier. And not that they and we didn't work, but there was more free time. I can't see my dad playing video games or Angry Birds or whatever else people do today. Not that it was bad, but today families are more involved with their kids and doing things and travel sports and clubs and other things, and that can be good. But let me tell you, when the kids are gone and the empty nest sets on, that can be a hard, difficult time. I hear people say, oh, my kids are gone. You know, thank God, it's great now. Yeah, in some senses it is, but in some senses it's not. You get caught in a sin, and can you imagine these public figures that are on the news 24/7? I mean, they're still real people, right? And if they mess up and if they sin and they do wrong, you know, they're going to have to pay for that. But can you imagine if on the Roanoke Times every day for the next 3 weeks and the news was pointing out what you did wrong in your life one time? How you would deal with that? There are people in this area that won't leave their house or very seldom leave their house because they were responsible for the death of one of their loved ones in an accident. And they just can't face society anymore. Those dark times in our life. And maybe you're there, or you've been there, or you're going there, and it's the valley of tears. I'm glad the Lord is still close to the brokenhearted. And if there's ever a time, and it's all the time, but if there's ever a time that we really need to depend upon the Lord, it's those times when we're broken. And know that in those broken times, and people who have dealt with relationships, whether it was in dating or marriage, those are hard. I can remember in college experiences that I went through. I was just ready to just quit. Not in my life, but just quit. I just couldn't go on. It hurt so bad. I remember going to one of my professors and talking to him about a relationship after it was over and some other circumstance. And he said, it's like cutting a dog's tail off an inch at a time. It just hurts over and over and over and over again. God seems to be there to comfort us and strengthen us and bring things into our life to encourage us. It says David, after all these things had happened, he strengthened himself in the Lord. What do you do when you go through those times? The thing that I know is just get close to God. Get as close to Him as you can. And that's going to be in the Word of God and in prayer and around people who love God. That will help you. Not only is there the Valley of Elah where the giants are, and the Valley of Baca, the Valley of Tears, but I think of what David said in Psalm 23, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." It's a valley we're going to face one day. Hebrews says it's appointed unto men once to die. You know, your perspective on life changes as you experience things in your life or as you get older. You know, I used to never think about health issues or aging or limitations. But now I do. Now, I can probably, in my mind, still do 90% of the stuff I've always done. Reality, probably 75 to 50. But that's going to change. Back to visit Mary Jane. I think I shared this at the service yesterday. I went to see her last Tuesday and realized at that time that her days, if not hours, were very limited on this earth. When I left her room, I walked down the hall to go visit another individual. And in the little chapel area that looks out at Running More out over where Victory Stadium used to be, over the ball fields there, I saw a family in there with one of their family members in a bed just looking out, and I thought, I wonder if that was their last request. You know, I'm not going to leave the hospital. I don't know that, but it's just what I thought. I'm not going to leave the hospital. I'd like to look outside one more time. I take that for granted, don't you? I just get up and go outside, do what I want to, and do this and do that. Then I went to visit Amy Perry's father and remember him in prayer. He has Alzheimer's, and on Friday afternoon, he went to the doctor, walked out to the car, and then something happened in his body. Something happened with the Alzheimer's, and they had to rush him to the hospital. He was just flailing back and forth in the bed, you know, shouting, and, you know, they were trying to console him and so forth, and their hearts were broken. And then they were told on Tuesday, you know, your insurance has run out. You need to take him home. Now, we can't help transport him for you, but we just need you to leave. There are valley experiences. You know, we can't know what death is going to be for us. I mean, I used to hear people say, well, I just pray that I'll just die in my sleep, go peacefully. Yeah, me too. Because I've seen the other side. I've seen people who go through pain and suffer and families that don't know what to do. And I don't want to depress you. What I'm saying is, while you still have strength, serve the Lord. Don't get into this mindset that your job is your life. Your job is not your life. Your job might be your earnings. Your job might be important to you. But Jesus Christ is your life. Honor Him. We played the song last week from Zach Williams, who I'd never heard of before. I'd heard his song, but in his testimony, if you were here last week, you remember he said, you know, God spoke to me. I was using my talents in a rock band, and I thought I had made it. And God spoke to my heart and said, you're using the talents I gave you for the wrong reason. I don't know how God has gifted you, but don't use it for the wrong reason. Because before long, be that another couple months, another couple years, 20 years, 30, we're going to meet the Lord. Don't waste your life. Now, the valley is only a shadow of death. It's just a passageway from this life into the presence of the Lord, and that's something we can be excited about. But face your giants. Trust God and walk with Him through your valleys as He can mold and shape in you even through your difficulties. And live for Him, because one day you're going to see Him. And I hope you know the Lord, and I hope you're living for the Lord. Paul said this to the Romans. I'll close with this. Romans chapter 12, probably a message similar to this. He said, I beseech you, I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, that you might prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. And I beg you, I urge you, live for God. Let Him have first place in your life. You'll never regret it. Father, thank you for loving us. When we think about the old paths, there are some old ways that need to be updating. But there are some ancient truths that we need to abide and live by. We're going to go through valley experiences in our life, hard things that we thought we would never have to deal with, and we don't even know how to deal with. But you promised you would never leave us or forsake us, that you would walk beside us, you would be our comforter, you'd be our strength, you'd give us direction. And for those that are in the valley right now, Father, just put your loving arms around them. May they know your presence. May they see your paths. And may you strengthen and encourage them in the days ahead. And Father, help us to live for you, knowing one day we'll see you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you're going through some things in your life, some struggles, if you're not sure you're saved, we're here. Come after the service, talk to us. We'll pray with you, show you from Scripture, however we can help you. Live for the Lord. He's coming soon. Good day. Lord bless you.